Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys? This is Wardell Potts for Solar Records Radio, and Solar is ready to get its groove on. And I'm so excited because, you know, Solar wants to dance. It's really all about the cardiovascular system. It's really about our health ultimately. And so that's what it's all about. That's what life should be about. It's just really, you know, it's actually what life is about. As we grow, as soon as we're born, we have to eat, we have to be nurtured and stuff. And you know, they said like breastfeeding is healthier than, you know, what man makes for babies, right, to develop and stuff. And because that's natural, right? And so it is, it's so good to know that We have people, scientists, people that are working really hard to help us to figure out how to do what we need to do, how to navigate, how to be the best we can be in terms of our intake when it comes down to our nutrition. And so when you talk about nutrition and you're talking about also dealing with, you know, different diseases like dementia and Alzheimer's disease, that those things right there can we can put the brakes on it with nutrition. And that's what I'm going to share with you later on in the show. But the first part of the show, we just want to, you know, just have a good time like we've been. You know, we want to get moving and stuff. And, you know, you guys, I know y'all been on the, especially my friends here in the United States, Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. You guys, we were just eating away, right? It wasn't just you. It was me, too. I was enjoying Thanksgiving. That's the fun part, right? It's fun to be around friends and family and haven't seen your cousins in a long time. And you guys get to see each other, hang out, love on each other, and have good food. I mean, food is a wonderful element. It brings a lot of people together. There's a lot of business decisions that's made around food. There's relationships that are developed around food. And there's also good, healthy eating based on food. So we really need to take our hats off to the food and be grateful for it, but we don't want to overdo it. Too much of anything could be bad for you, right? And so we want to make sure that we do the right thing for ourselves so that we can try to live as, you know, as long as we can, because we all have a number. We all have a date that our Heavenly Father is going to call us home. So, and we don't know when that is. So in the meantime, let's just do our best and be as strong as we can. And I know that's difficult in some cases, right? Some of us, we have, you know, we're struggling, right? Trying to eat healthy, trying to maintain, you know, all the headaches and all the things that come along with work and, you know, trying to take care of our families and stuff. And sometimes we kind of like put health on the back burner, healthy eating on the back burner. We'll just go through a drive-thru and grab something real fast to eat. And it really is the total opposite of healthy for us. Okay, so, all right. So let me make sure that everything is okay here with my show. I have messages coming in from my executive producers. And so, but anyway, and so that's the point right there, right? That's the point right there. We have to make sure that we can, that we eat healthy so we can take care of ourselves, because situations happens just like what's happening right now. I have one of my associate producers having a problem with what's happening here. So let me just send her. Okay. Now I responded to her and hopefully she's good and everything is good. So, but anyway, getting back to my point, it's so important that we eat healthy and that we do the right thing for our bodies. You know, like last night, my daughter and my wife and my daughter, they had, was it last night? No, it was a couple of nights ago. And they had, what was that vegetable? Asparagus. Yeah, asparagus. I don't like asparagus. It's almost like, reminds me of spinach when my mom used to give me spinach. And so I don't like it, but, you know, it's like if it's cooked a certain way, I might be okay with it. But then this morning I saw on the food network that they had fried asparagus, and I was like, oh, that looks good, and that may feel good to my tongue, you know, because of the crunch and all that stuff. So, but you know, it's the kind of flour and stuff that you put on it to fry it with that will determine if it's going to continue to have its health. And so it just depends on the oil and everything, all that stuff. So yeah. I'm getting yelled at. But anyway, so I want to do the right thing. I want to eat healthy and I'm trying. So like I said, we all have our issues, but I figure we can do this together, right? We can figure it all out together. And so that's what we're doing here. Next month, we're going to be talking about Gayla. Next month, we're going to be talking about something completely different. I was trying to get Gayla because it's her special. She's an autism specialist. And so we're going to be talking about autism. And it's just so many children that suffer with this disease that is just so crazy. But then I think about the parents too, man, you know, because some, you know, kids just don't stop. They just, it just go all day long. And it will just, and so I'm like, you know, what about the parents? What about their battery? What about, you know, they, I mean, it's got to be getting worn out, you know? So I was saying we need to figure out a way to, you know, help them help their children, you know? And but anyway, so I'm so grateful for, you know, people like Gayla who, you know, they love taking care of kids. They love to make sure that they're okay and help them, give them the tools that they need. Children with autism, give them the tools that they need so that they could do better and be better in this life, in this life, you know. And it's a, you know, there's some kids with that are autistic that are really extremely smart, and it's like they are so gifted. It's so amazing. I sat down with some of them, and I was like, wow, this kid, like, there's so much to learn from these kids because they're on a different level. It's a whole nother field there, and so I want to learn more about them as well, about, you know, that part of what they have that we don't have. They have the capability of tapping in to different parts of the brain that we can't do. I mean, I remember there was a student that that, you know, that was able to solve this amazing problem in the math class, and I think it was calculus. And so the teacher was just saying, you know, okay, so did anyone solve the problem yet? And then he raised his hand, and then so she says, okay, well, so what is it? So what's the answer? So can you come up here and explain to us? And he says, no. And then she, because he, you know, he's nervous, and he knows how people, they look at him and they treat him differently because he is different. And so then he did finally do that. And but he, when he did get up there and he explained, he did his best to explain to them how he got the answer. It was completely different than what the teacher used to get to the answer. And but he had the right answer. And she was so, she was not happy with him. And I'm like, whoa, what would, I mean, he got the answer, but see, his brain goes differently. He navigates differently. And so, but he knows the answer, and he got it faster than anyone in the class. And so she's frustrated with him. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, you got to back off of that, I think. You know, of course, you, the normal brain does it this way, but you know that this child has been challenged. You know, and to embarrass him like that in front of the class, and, you know, put him down and tell him, no, that's not right. That's not right. Even though it is right, it's just his right. It's the way that he can, he knows that answer, and he got it real quick. And so that's why I think we need to learn a little bit more about this disease, because we need to be respectful to these people, to these children, and that grew up into being adults that are really, really wise. And if we could just have a little bit more compassion for people that are different than us, man, I think this world would be a wonderful place to be. But right now, it's not. It's ugly. We are so mean to each other. We're so destructive. We want to destroy each other. It is just crazy. So join me later on. I'm going to also have my buddy Phoenix come on to the show, and he is going to share his experience with dementia. Okay, so guys, kick back, relax. This is Solar Wants to Dance. So we're going to get moving. We're going to get that cardiovascular moving and stuff. If you want to move, move. But please make sure you understand that I'm not a doctor, a lawyer, or Indian chief. So don't take my advice when it comes down to working out. You need to make sure you consult with your doctor first and make sure you can do what, you know, this. I just want to make sure I put this disclaimer in, because I don't want any of my friends or any of the listeners, people that we care about, to get hurt because they want to be you know, do something different. And this time of the year, right, it's usually when everybody, okay, they start all of a sudden getting health conscious and they want to start eating better. But after the holidays, and then they say, okay, so this is my New Year's resolution, which lasts for about 2 months at the most, right? And so please, before you do anything like that, make sure you talk to your doctor and let him or her help you out with your New Year's resolution, what they think is healthy for you, and help you along the way. And it's so important. It's so important that you have a doctor. And if you don't have insurance, for my friends here overseas, over here in the United States, but see overseas, like in the UK, they take care of all their, they have a different kind of thing over there. Everybody's covered. But over here, you know, there's people running around with no insurance, and it's expensive. And I know, and I understand why. So with that being said, you have to find a way to get covered. Sometimes there's some kind of insurance out there for you. Don't just go, well, I can't afford it, and just give up. No, you have to find it. You need to be covered in case you go into the hospital. You know, you need to be covered. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, guys, so for the ones that have been doing this, let's get going. Let's start enjoying some of this music and get these legs going. And Phoenix will be in at the bottom of the hour, and we can get going on autism. And I mean, not autism, dementia. All right. So here we go on Solar Records Radio. This is my song. I'm feeling very solar. While the music was going, instead of me working out, I was working out in a different way emotionally and very concerned for my friend, my assistant, associate producer Astrid has been very concerned. And so with her concern, you know, when she, if something's wrong with her, something's wrong with me. Bottom line, that's my partner. That's my girl, and I love her desperately, and I want to make sure she's okay. And so when she shared with me, that she was sad about what's happening with Carlos Green from The Deal, So what's happening is that his son is missing and his grandson is with his son. And so what I did was I called him just now while the music was playing, and I was talking with him about what all the stuff that's going on. Phoenix, I know you're there, and I just wanted to share this with you too, because he happens to be where you are in Vegas. Wow. And so they're trying to find him. They're about to put an Amber Alert out for him and his child.
What part
for the,
of Vegas?
For the child. I'm not sure, and I know Vegas is big. So, but all I just got off the phone with Carlos, and he just said that, you know, they're about to put this Amber Alert out, and he says that, you know, his son can be kind of out there, but he says he's not this crazy. This is unusual, and he's worried. So what we want to do on behalf of the Green family is to keep them in prayer, the baby and the son in prayer, as this is a very difficult time for the family. And I just can't imagine the emotion that must be going on with him, you know, worrying about his son and his grandson. I mean, this is like it's a double whammy, man. So if we can keep them in prayer, that would be awesome. You know, if we could do that, just with the listeners around the world, you know, let's keep them in prayer. It would be awesome. So,
I'm currently in what's called Clark County or Paradise, interestingly enough. There's different quadrants, of course, of, like you say, Las Vegas is rather large. It's one of the largest states outside of California. It runs, you can literally travel for 8 or 9 hours and still be in Las Vegas. So I'm in Clark County. I'm near all major arteries like 215 and I-15, et cetera. Most people that live here know what that means, off of Blue Diamond. So, yeah, it is challenging, like you mentioned, to go through that, especially when it hits what's called the Amber Alert. That's when stuff gets – I've recently become a first responder, so that becomes very serious. So I can imagine the emotional scars that tolls on the individual family members. So.
Well, it's been since the 20th, as with Astra just notified me, and so we definitely want to, you know, that's almost 10 days old, you know, that's quite a few days, so
a lot of time elapsed.
We're going to do our best to just continue to do whatever we can do and just pray for them, you know. So they were due for a flight to New York. I mean, I guess North Carolina on Monday, but never made it. Never made it. So that's when what's going on? You're not answering the phone. You didn't show up. What's going on? And so that's, okay. So I will post there, or Astrid will post their pictures on, I think she already posted it in our group, in the Solar Records Radio group. And then we'll post it, you know, just to make sure. And we'll keep you guys updated with everything. All right. And so I know we're supposed to be talking about dementia, and we will we'll be back right after this. I hear a lot of noise. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can fix that there. Okay. We'll be right back right after that. Okay. So, ooh, man. Crazy. Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Without her. 'cause you're amazing, just the way you are. And when you
All right. Well, man, oh, man, I tell you, so much going on. And, you know, we just have to be grateful when, you know, we have to be grateful because you just never know what you're going to have to deal with at any given time. And so I want to get to this topic that this is the last day that we'll be talking about it this month. We were talking about dementia and Alzheimer's disease and for the month of November. And before that, we were talking about breast cancer awareness. And there's so many things to learn as we're starting to do this on Saturdays, just talking about health. Thanks to Astrid, that's what we've been doing lately here. And so what a blessing it is. So I want to talk to my brother, Phoenix, about his experience because he dealt with it head up, real close. So Phoenix, my brother, oh man, how have you been? First of all,
I'm good. The first thing that comes to mind about dementia is it's equated almost to like a ship that has been docked, and before you realize it, the attachment to the dock loosens and the boat surely and steadily drifts out to sea. And it gives you the connotation that it's gradual. You don't notice it. And before you realize it, there's no land in sight. And you don't know how you got from point A to point B. And probably one of the most responsible comments that I received from a family member who was in the field of psychology, she went on to mention to me, and I thought it was very valuable insight now, especially hindsight being 2020, that the dementia patient, in their perspective, things are perfectly normal. You're the crazy one. The person who is the family member that is dealing with the party who has dementia is the one who suffers the greatest because you watch your loved one drift out to sea, so to speak. They forget names. They forget dates. Some of them, even if they were even keel and they had a beautiful personality prior to, can become very disruptive. They can curse, cuss, fuss, and swear and say things to you that are so bizarre that you find yourself checking your own sanity because you're applying logic, and logic doesn't live with them anymore. And that's perhaps one of the most difficult things because you are completely thrown off balance. You're not a professional. All of a sudden, you find yourself thrust into this scenario of which you have no background. All you know is I love this person. We've lived for many. In my case, it was 35, 36 years. We bore three children together. And suddenly, there's no connectivity. They may not know your name. I think gradually, in the case of my wife, obviously I'm speaking about, she would say certain things are just not right. And I just thought she was a hypochondriac because all my life I've known her to be, she had a little cold, she was running to the doctor. So I was like, you're just being, you know, a hypochondriac, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, you know. And I could kick myself now for that because I applied logic, but logic didn't live there anymore. And so the thing that I could tell most to the listeners is to be very sensitive to what they say. Be very cognizant. Even if you cannot relate, relate to them as much as possible. Try to embrace them. Try to do things that makes them comfortable. My wife, like, for instance, never drank coffee. All of a sudden, she was requesting coffee in the morning. My wife would never eat yogurt. All of a sudden, she was eating yogurt. So basically, there's going to be things that they're going to do that's going to be completely contrary to everything you've ever known. Don't resist. Don't become, in other words, a part of the problem. be resilient. Try not to be resistive. Be accommodating. Do your research, because it's a slow drifting vessel that suddenly you find yourself in the middle of nowhere and there's no reference. It's one of the, perhaps one of the most difficult diseases or impediments or scenarios that you could probably ever experience, because suddenly you find yourself on oddball out and it's you who is the problem. They're perfectly fine in their own mindset. So a lot to digest, but there's a lot of substantive information, if you follow me, that can be very helpful. Don't take it personal. It's not, it has nothing to do with you. That's the weird thing about it. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what your loved one is going through. So try to be as accommodating and take yourself out of the equation. That's something that I didn't, on the scoreboard, I didn't do well with that. I just thought that she was just being over critical about what was going on. But now I know better. It took me almost 2 years after our divorce to digest what happened. And so I try to condense as much as possible in my comment to reflect my own inadequacies and humilities, but also insight to those listeners who are listening that truly want to be an aid to their loved one. Don't take it personally.
Well, you know, I mean, but that's a lot that you just unpacked it there, my friend. And I know that you have personal experience with that. Don Fleming, you're here? Are you my partner?
I am.
Okay. You want to say hello to Phoenix? And then I wanted you to, you know, we're just talking about dementia and Alzheimer's. And so did you?
Hey, did Don, you have... always a pleasure.
Hey, man, same here. Good to talk to you again.
So, Phoenix, this is the thing. I know that you have had to deal with this personally. And, wow. And so do you want to share a little bit about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything that you ever thought you knew about yourself, throw it out the window. Your intelligentsia, your experience, your backdrop, your Christianity or your spiritual inclination, out the window. Just touching topically on a spiritual connection, it's often been said from a Christian vantage point that, you know, one of Satan's biggest weapons from a Christian spiritual standpoint is that skin in behalf of skin. You never know how you're going to respond when your skin is caught in the fence, when it affects you personally, when suddenly, as in mine, you know, at the risk of sounding graphic, you know, your wife no longer wants to have sexual relations. Suddenly, you're a rapist. Suddenly, oh, my God, don't touch me. Who are you? Okay. And you're like, what? Ain't this brand new? But take yourself out of the equation, because it doesn't apply to you. It applies to this individual. And here's the mark, which I failed, of true resiliency, is to accommodate someone else, put the needs of others ahead of yourself. No, truly, friends, I mean, be sympathetic. If they're saying it so, it probably is so. And even if you can't see it, that doesn't mean it's not real to them. And so you have to be, you got to ratchet back. Like I said, everything that you thought you knew, throw it out the window. It doesn't apply. It really doesn't. In my wife's case, she was a very responsible. She was a banker. She came from Trinidad, very beautiful woman, informed. When people would see her, they had no idea she was going through an issue. She looked better than I did. We both were the same age, but my wife was a picture perfect of health. She probably was 120 pounds soaking wet. beautiful Trinidadian skin, long. She looked Polynesian. She was well-spoken. She worked her way up from a clerk to a VP at a bank because she was very personable. She was very detailed-oriented. She was my go-to gal. If I needed something done, I could come to her, and I could just die to it. Hey, honey, blah, blah, blah. And I could just walk away. I knew it was handled. Her due diligence was through the roof. So she went from one end of the spectrum to the opposite end of the spectrum.
Wow.
And that was difficult, selfishly, for me to deal with because I was like, who is this person? What do you mean no sex? What do you mean good night? What do you mean, I have needs? Yeah. Good night. Gone. Hit the pillow. She was out. And
so,
it was very difficult.
How long was transition from being very aware, I mean, right on, you know, just normal to, when I shouldn't say normal, but you know what I mean, our normal, or what I
well,
think.
Well, I left Georgia. I left Georgia in 2015. I didn't know it then. 2015 to almost 2018 is when the transition went from left to right. And it was gradual. It's like, you know, those of you who have kids, and people say, oh, he's getting so big. You see the child every day. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're
right,
like
right,
the child.
Right.
Oh, they look just like you. I don't see it.
Right.
They haven't been around your child in a year and a half. Oh, my God. Your child has grown leaps and bounds. They're a proverbial weed to them. That's probably the closest that I could give you because within that three-year spectrum, there was forgetfulness. It was the losing of the glasses. It was the misplacement of items. It was, I said something to you. It was like, I remember one incident was, yeah, we went to the movies and we saw that. What? It's not even out yet. Yeah, it is. I mean, knock down, drag out, fight. Let's go to the site, honey. Let me show you the theatrical date. It hasn't been released yet. I don't care what that says. Yes, it did.
Ooh.
That kind of stuff.
Wow.
I'm a big movie buff. My wife was a huge movie buff. That was one of the things that we really enjoyed doing together. My wife was very low-key, very professional. She went from that to causing a scene in the restaurant. Don't touch my food, because here's the weird part. They forget how to eat. They forget how to hold a frankfurter. Like you would hold a frankfurter oblong and eat it incrementally. No. She would eat it in the middle until it all fell apart. It was all over the place, all over her clothes, all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't want assistance from you. People turn around, and I look like a big goofball, and she looks like this beautiful girl from Ipanema. I'm the bum. She's the great gal. What are you doing? She would call security, ma'am. I'm trying to help her. Logic doesn't apply. That's just a snapshot in time.
Yeah, they said that. You know, it's one thing when, you know, a person can't find their keys, they forgot what they did with their keys, but it's a whole nother story when they forget what the keys are for. It's like, whoa,
You are in relation to the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Don't touch me. Suddenly they have this altered concept of reality. Maybe they never drove, but they drive. Maybe, you know, you're the one who's dysfunctional. Like I said, even under sexual, you know, commitments within a marriage, you know, spiritually, it's like, you know, do not be holding back unless at an appointed time. That goes out the window. My wife was never one to use profanity. She went from not using to using, you know, derogatory statements at you that's directed at you personally. If you're anything like me, I'm old school. You don't have to love me. You don't have to like me, but you got to respect me. Oh, you blankety blank. What?
Wow.
Prepare for that because it's coming. And it doesn't get better. It gets worse. And for those men that are out there, you're not fixing anything. You know, we have this thing where we feel, I can fix it. You know, I can fix it in the mix.
Right.
No, you can't. No, you cannot. All you can do is do things that keeps her comfortable, do things not to exacerbate the problem, which is a very hard skill to acquire
when that's not your wheelhouse.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, Don, any thoughts?
I'm just, you know, I'm just in awe that, you know, these personal stories, man, it just, you know, it moves me. I know my great aunt, you know, we're talking about dementia, you know, just this her deterioration, the slow decline of that progressive decline, you know, over the years, really over a few months, you know, asking about her, you know, her dead husband, you know, coming down to the house and, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, asking, you know, where's Willie? Of course, her deceased husband, you know, and to where she's in her underwear, you know, and these, you know, and a brilliant woman, you know, I mean, she taught, she was a teacher, you know, just to have that very sharp, you know, just to see that decline, it broke my heart. And it made me, you know, it really made, she was the inspiration for me to become a teacher, you know, and to see, you know, that decline, it just hurt me, you know. And yeah. I know many people have stories like that, you know, tenfold. And again, I empathize with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and magnify that when it's your marriage mate. One thing is that, you know, because you can become far removed when it's an uncle and aunt. It affects
yeah.
you. But all of a sudden, you wake up to a stranger
every day
in your bed. You wake up to someone. My wife hated coffee, man. I'm a Cafe Bustelo. I'm a straight-up New Yorker. I want the heavy-duty mm-hmm. two and a half scoops of Cafe Bustelo in my French press. I could chase her around the room if her life depended on it. She wouldn't drink. And then suddenly she says, well, where's my coffee? Huh? What? You know, it's those things that flip you. If those are the little things that you're not really prepared for, and those are, who are actively
no, not
involved
at all.
In relationships, man, you're not ready for that. Unless someone pulls your coat and says, hey, dude, it's not about you. Give a coffee. You like it, babe? Yeah, it's good. You know. You got to suddenly wipe their mouth. You might have to come behind them and help them with their bathroom duties after they move themselves. Suddenly, you're
yeah.
in that loop because
yeah.
if you don't, you got to clean up. And suddenly
mm-hmm.
you are, man, you're flipped over. You can't even begin. You can't even conjugate a verb because your first response in my case was to strike out. Are you kidding me? What in the world? Nope. Don't work.
Wow, this is heavy, man. I, you know, I have another caller on the line as well. But Don, did you want to say something to respond to Phoenix?
No. It does. I've never had that experience as far as having your significant other and I bet I empathize with it, you know. It's one of those things. I don't want to be insensitive and say, well, I hope that never happens on my end, but at
mm-hmm.
the same time, I just want to,
I hope it doesn't,
you know, I just want to, you know, just to let you know, I'm gonna be there, you know.
Amen.
It hurt again, and I empathize with the situation, man. And you know, my blessings to you, brother, and what you're going through and what you went through. And I pray that nothing like that happens to anybody else. But again, that's not how, you know.
Amen.
That's not
that.
How things work. So,
well, that's why we're having this conversation, because it's, you know, it's just a part of life, and
right.
even the surprise part of it is like, whoa, we need to, you know, you have to make a mental adjustment And you, okay, just real
and
quickly.
And it can strike at any time. You know, the thing that shows you, here's another snapshot. My wife and I went to, we had to go to Nevada State Medical Board. So I was mm-hmm. told in advance from insurance purposes that they were going to evaluate her. They weren't going to give me any indication because people are in the games. It's a very litigious world. Everybody's trying to get over. Everybody wants to play like
right.
their back hurts. Everybody wants to play, whatever. Well, to make a long and short of it, she was seen by him in my company. And the doctor, halfway through the visit, he started crying profusely.
Whoa.
He started crying. It moved me. He said, oh, my God. He said, here's a beautiful woman. She was in her 50s, mid-50s. And my wife was gorgeous. I mean, God don't like ugly, neither do I. My wife is gorgeous. Oh, and physically, every test, you know, her gait, her walk, stick your hands out, the pinching on the knee, on the hand, the knee, the response, all of that, flying colors. But
mm-hmm.
she couldn't tell you the president. She couldn't tell you the floor she was on. She couldn't tell you the season that she was in. We was on the third floor. She said she was on the first floor. I mean, stuff that is just like, oh, my God. Let's draw a circle. Let's do a clock, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 in sequential order. Nope. It was like a little kid that just threw it in the middle like the Soul Train scramble board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
And the doctor started to cry. And he said, oh, my God. He says, she's a beautiful woman. She's in perfect shape. There's no indication. He says, she definitely has advanced dementia. I've never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, my God. And he just broke down and started crying.
Yeah. Well, he
so,
says
yeah,
passionate.
She won the award.
Doctor.
The doctor started crying. This is what he does for a living. So it goes to show you that no one is impervious. When you see a human being that diminishes in their capacity to this extreme, and especially when, okay, they have dementia, okay, they're supposed to have gray hair, they're supposed to look disheveled, they're supposed to be overweight, they're supposed to look matronly. Nope. My wife looked like a model.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of it applied, bro. And he started to cry. And I brought that up to give the audience a litmus test that no one's impervious. Nobody. And this was a gentleman that did this for a living. He was so overwhelmed. He said, I'd never seen such a case as advanced. And it was basically telling us it was going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We might be able to do certain things medication-wise to prevent it. Currently, my wife is 63. We're the same age. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know my name. She doesn't know her grandkids, and she doesn't speak. Okay.
Well,
and that happened within the year and a half that I didn't see her. I went from, oh, hi, how are you? Hey, how's it going? Did you meet somebody? Because we were already divorced, too. Just repeatedly saying my name and, like, who are you? It's like that.
Wow. It's like that. Man. Okay. I have another caller. I have a caller on. I'm sorry. Julian, our sister from Detroit. What's up, Julian?
Hi. How you guys doing today?
We're good.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah. I'm hanging in there. Yeah. I just wanted to share a few thoughts on the subject. My mother, the doctor, he said that she had a few years ago, he said that she had a touch of Alzheimer's, you know, or dementia. He said she had a touch of it. And, you know, she would forget things here and there. And, like, towards, you know, like later years, you know, I would wonder, like, well, gosh, this is the medication. I would watch and see what I'm giving her, because sometimes I would give her different medications and her personality would kind of change a little bit, you know, and I'm like, okay, is it too much of this or too much of that? And sometimes, you know, we really have to read the ingredients, what's in everything, because sometimes things that make things a lot worse than what they really are. But I started taking care of my mom like 3 years ago. I mean, always been there, but she had fell and broke her hip. And so I had to let my job go so that I could take care of her. And at that time, she was 96 and still in her right mind and everything, you know. And 97, 98, you know, she's a little bit more forgiving. He started asking about her parents and, you know, where's mama, where's dad, you know. And I would say, oh, you know what, we'll find out. We'll get in touch with them. I definitely would never tell her anything bad because there's nothing you can do about it. And I wouldn't want to tell her anything that would upset her, you know. But what she, one thing she would do, I mean, she would read the newspaper every day, do crossword puzzles every day, watch Jeopardy, watch Wheel of Fortune. Her mind was very, very, very sharp up into her, you know, up into her 90s and everything. And so I would do things that she loved to cook. I would bring the food and let her mix this up, mix the cake up. And, Mom, how do you make this? I forgot how you make it. And let her, you know, tell me what ingredients I need and, you know, let her be, like, hands-on and everything. So I would take her places. She loved to shop. So I basically would do a lot of the things that she enjoyed doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we would listen to the show, you know, all the time. So, you know, we would just do – I would just try to do things so if that can help anybody. You know, I would not dare, you know, confuse her if she said something. And if it wasn't right, and I would just, oh, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we just would agree with her. Because if you tell someone that, no, that's not right, that's not it. You know, I had, you know, people, I knew people that their loved ones had, and then I was like, no, don't argue with them. Because, you know, just let them think whatever it is, just agree with them, you know, and they'll forget it, you know, later on and instead of upsetting them more. But that was just one of the things that, you know, some of the things that I just wanted to put out there. But she never got violent. She never, you know, I've heard stories of people wanting to fight and things like that. She pretty much was really cool. And, you know, it just kind of made me wonder, wow, you know, does she really have it? Or is it just medication, you know, that's causing these different, like, mood swings and things like that? But Saturday, my mom passed in January, and this Saturday coming up, she would have been 100. So she hung in there for a long time.
Yeah. I'll say
mm-hmm.
a long time. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Really, really appreciate that. You know, there are people that are, you know, diagnosed with it and don't even know that. I mean, well, from an outsider's point of view, you wouldn't know that they are diagnosed. I mean, that they have this disease. But you know, okay. their mates that see them every single day, like Phoenix was saying, like I know what's happening. They see, you know, enough going on that they have to take them into the doctor and get an appointment. But did Phoenix, were you able to see? When she started taking medication, did it make her appear to be worse, faster, or did it help?
Yes, in some ways it helped, in some ways it was worse. Some ways it made her incontinent. You know, she would, you know, have diarrhea, and she would, which amplified the issue because it was anywhere, everywhere, and all over the place. Sorry for being graphic, but very challenging.
This is real
tough. That was very challenging. Sometimes it just made her very sleepy and lethargic,
mm-hmm,
which is
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it takes away when it's, again, it's your marital mate. You know, my wife was very exacting, you know, very good eye contact. She was very detailed oriented, typed 95 words a minute. She was a supervisor mm-hmm. over 30 people. She was a VP at a major bank institution. She handled international banking. So she mm-hmm. went from one end of the spectrum, bro, to the other. So medication mm-hmm. had some ups, but many downs. And the thing that I learned, my dad was a biologist, God bless his soul. And he used to say, you know, physicians are practicing. They're called mm-hmm. practicing physicians. And he said, and you're not going to practice on me. Because in the mm-hmm. interim, I found my wife became a guinea pig. My wife was like, mm-hmm. okay, here we have a 55-year-old athletic woman. Hey, let's try this dose. Let's see what happens. Oh, no, that didn't work. Oh, let's mm-hmm. try this. And it's so insensitive sometimes. Maybe they don't mm-hmm. mean the profession. But when you're talking about your love, you're like, what do you mean?
like, I got to the point, I was very astute, like, okay, why are you giving it? What are the side effects? What can I expect? Could you go start off with a lesser dosage? And some of them, as my dad used to say, you know, if you deal with a doctor and they want, and they start grinding the axe, it's time to change your doctor, because the doctor should be totally willing to listen to your ideas on the matter and give you some concrete answers. In my case, they just assume, they assumed that I was attorney. I was an attorney, and they clammed up. They said, "Are you an attorney?" And I said, "Well, I take that under advisement." Because they were worried about their job. But I was worried about my wife. So it was personal, you know. Yeah. Very, very touching.
Well, I want to say I have an update real quickly. And man, oh, man, that's amazing information that you guys are sharing here. I just got an update on Carlos's green son and grandson, that they have been found alive. And so they're
good.
So Carlos Green from the group The Deal, he has been, you know, putting it out there, please pray. And we just talked about it, Phoenix, a few seconds ago, right? About him being out there in Vegas. So they found him, and he said, "Thank you guys for your prayers." Basically means that everything is good. And so I just want to just give all of the listeners an update as to what's happening there. All right, so hallelujah.
That's wonderful.
He's so good. So anyway, what else is it now? So Don, did you want to respond to anything?
No, I'm just listening. And Julia, I just wanted to just give you a shout out, and just your mother, and of course you losing your mother earlier in the year, being almost 100 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Job well done.
And she looks anywhere near 100.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we'd be so fortunate, so fortunate. And you know, the sad thing is that, I mean, as we get older, we start to lose a little bit of, you know, things anyway, they say. And so, we even say it ourselves, because we just a habit of hearing everyone else say it, you know. Man, you know, I'm getting older, so, you know, I'm not going to remember everything. Well, I mean, we got to be careful what we say, right? Because we'll pull ourselves right into that, right? I'm just grateful that we're having this conversation, because it's kind of like teaching us. The whole purpose is to just be ready, just in case. We pray that our loved ones don't get it, but if they do, or if we get it, you know, we will be a little more understanding of it, and hopefully we will continue to learn more about it as time goes on, and not just from what we did this month on it, but hopefully, you know, the listeners and stuff and people just, you know, just don't get caught off guard, because on Thanksgiving, I was driving to my cousin's, and in my brake, I watched my front brake come off my car and go behind me.
Oh.
And I had zero brakes, but everybody else around me was going 75 miles an hour, and I was going slower because I was curious about the noise that I heard earlier, so I was going a little slower. But still, it could have, you know, right then and there, I could have lost my life, you know, and my loved ones. So things just happen out of the blue randomly, and we never know. So if we have the information, like I had information in regards to things like that happening. I talked about it before. You guys remember when Toyota was having a problem with their brakes, and people, the brakes wouldn't lock, wouldn't stop the cars. They just, people were running off the road. The police would get in front of them and slow the cars down.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember that? It was on the news.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was on the news. It was all on the news. I mean, like, and so, and in California, this one car, this guy's the car wouldn't turn off. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't stop. And I was like, why don't they just turn the key off? I don't understand.
Right.
Like, or you know.
Well, you panic. The problem is.
Well, you could lock the steering wheel, but if you turn it just part of the way, you turn the engine off, but you still have power over the wheel. And I guess it just depends on how fast you're going, but at least use your emergency brake or something just slowly pull. And so I was thinking about that for a long time. And so me, when I got into this situation, I refused to use my brakes until I had to. And that's when I discovered that they weren't working at all. Mm-hmm. And so I was downshifting is the way I slowed down. And I ended up driving right past my cousin's house because the car wouldn't stop. And so,
oh, wow.
And so I just pulled over a little into the grass and let the grass stop me. Mm-hmm. And then I mm-hmm. realized, oh, my emergency brakes are working. So I started using them to get onto her farm. But anyway, things happen. But thank you guys for sharing. And man, oh man, this is Phoenix. In closing, is there anything you want to say in regards to this disease?
Well, all things considered, and I think your story concerning your brakes galvanizes the discussion nicely, because things happen.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
and what we have to be prepared is the constitution of who we are is challenged by the things that happen arbitrarily sometimes in our lives. There's, you know, there's often said that life is no dress rehearsals with life. You know, certain things you just can't prepare.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Certain things will bring out negative things out of your personality that's been latent. I know for me, I've always been impatient. As I'm getting older, I've turned into my dad, and I'm starting to learn I don't like to be touched or handled much. You mm-hmm. know, I get a little old man finicky. And you start to learn, and I think it's very important to self-evaluate every once so often and ask yourself the question when you close your eyelids, who am I? What am I about? What do I stand for? What does my spirituality truly mean in reference to my life? What has my life's experiences taught me? And if I had a do-over, how could I be a better man? And so with radio shows like this, it's so beautiful because it's a cleansing, it's an opportunity to share your scorecard, even if you didn't do that well, so that the next person coming down the pike can learn from your experiences, perhaps maybe, and avoid the pitfalls mm-hmm. of our own circumstance. Sometimes we just mm-hmm. can't get out of the way of ourselves. So, yes, stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes, be prepared. Yes. That's right. Well, guys, anybody else, or we get ready to get out of here? I just want to thank y'all.
I just have one
thank
other
you for
thing
having
to say. Yeah, mm-hmm. thank you. And I just want to say, you know, what I would do, just pray for patience, knowledge, and the strength to get you through it, you know, especially if you're doing it alone. You know, you're going to need that, you know. So, yeah, just ask for,
prayer always helps.
That.
Prayer always
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, Don. Mr. Fleming?
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
I'm good. I enjoyed it. And I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us and tuning in and making sure that, you know, just being aware is the beauty of awareness. Considering, you know, the topic at hand, you know, and just understand, just love everybody and be empathetic to other people's situations. You know, a lot of folks don't show compassion until it happens to someone close to them.
Until it happens to
and,
them.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, it's unfortunate that some of us are programmed like that. All I'm just saying, just from a basic standpoint, just look out for each other, you know.
Amen.
And just love each other like
and
you
alongside,
said.
And alongside of that, sometimes people say, well, I would have never done it that way. Never say never. And,
that's
and
right.
You know, there's a scripture that says, see that the man is standing, that he doesn't fall. And so, yes, mm-hmm. Don, you made some very valid points. You know, Sometimes we're just wired that way. Sometimes we just think, hey, you know, we live in a critical, litigious, you know, self-serving world that everything is on display. But I think what we're talking about here deals with humility. Even those that, you know, many times I'm just cognizant of people who are not spiritual. What about people who haven't found God yet? They're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
What could they do? They have to work on their humility. You know, they may not know, they may not be at the point where they can grab a prayer because they didn't get there. They didn't arrive yet. But if they take themselves out of the equation, stop thinking so selfishly about what you want and start to think about what this person needs to be resilient, that's the building blocks, the beginnings of a better scenario for you and makes your loved one a little bit more palatable and comfortable. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for great conversation as always. Really appreciate you guys, and thanks, Julian, for calling in and sharing and your mother's story, and you know, and thank you so much for all that you do with us, for us, and being our friend. We appreciate you very much. And I want to also, you got it, babe. And I also want to thank Astrid for getting that information in regards to Carlos Green's family situation that it let us end this show on a wonderful upbeat note, and we're so grateful. And so thanks to my brothers and my sisters around the world, and thank you guys here on the show for blessing us. You all have a blessed weekend, and I'll catch you guys.
All right,
thank you.
You too,
thank you.
All right. Talk
thank
to you guys.
You guys.
Yes. Bye-bye. Good night. God bless you. And God be with all the listeners. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for our blessings. Amen. Take care, guys.